Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olivier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Well, last week on Divine Intervention, we tried three wines in a row on the same podcast, which was very useful and productive. But today we're going to slow down the pace a little, and we've just got one for this podcast. That doesn't mean that we don't have other things to chat about as well on the wine route that we take ourselves through. Before I introduce the wine, it's time to welcome our wine guru down in the Cape, Michael Olivier. Michael, good evening and welcome.
Oh, John, thanks so much. Lovely to be with you again.
Michael, of course, has his own website with lots of food and wine stuff. He's very active on social networks. He's written books. And I suppose the big highlight of last year, Michael, was when the Eat Out people decided to give you a Lifetime Achievement Award for your services to gastronomy, or gluttony, as I called it the other day.
Absolutely. I mean, it was as close, I think, that I've ever come to having a heart attack when it was announced. It was a bit like the Oscars, you know.
Well, congratulations on that, and I'm sure it has pride of place in the Olivier household.
For sure.
And in the studio with me, we welcome back for the second week in a row a trio of tasting titans. We have from Gumtree South Africa, the Auto Division, Jeff Osborne.
Good evening, John. Good to be here again.
Great to have you back, Jeff. We have Jeremy Sampson, who is not only South Africa's leading branding expert, but he's also in his later years become quite a fundy on wine. Jeremy, great to have you back.
John, always a pleasure.
And last, certainly not least, the chap who helps us get these podcasts working technically, as well as having a nose in the glass himself from time to time, Malcolm McDonald from Tersos. Malcolm, great to chat to you.
Likewise, great to be here.
Well, we've said how great it is to have everyone here. Let's find out how great the wine is. It's a Baboon's Back Shiraz from Ayama. We've had a few Ayama wines on the podcast before now. Michael Olivier, what can you tell us about the Baboon's Back range and this particular wine?
Well, the Ayama is a farm that we know quite well. We used to go and spend weekends there during the ownership of the new family, which was before the Dal Piazzas bought it. And baboons are a major feature on this farm. They come down and they steal grapes from the vineyard. We used to get most wonderful butternut squash from them, and they used to fight the baboons off in order to get them ripe. So they've developed this range of wines Ayama has, and they've given them baboony names. There's Baboon's Cuddle and Baboon's Back. And this is the Shiraz, which is the Baboon's Back. The current vintage out in the marketplace is a 2012. It's very young. It has the sort of Shirazy things that you expect there to be. Lots of sort of red berries on the nose with some sort of capsicum and spice going on there. This is an unwooded wine, so it's obviously had a lot of punching down and pump overs during the fermentation, and the tannins, I think, are sort of quite soft and well integrated into the wine itself. It's undergone the malolactic fermentation, sort of softening the wine further. I think this is a really delicious wine. It is a wine that you do need to have with food, I think, particularly as it's very young at the moment.
Michael, in the interests of honesty and transparency, we've got a bottle of the 2011 up here in the Joburg studio. I think you said 2012.
Yes,
I don't think it makes a massive difference, but just so people know that we're tasting something totally different, in case we disagree violently on the contents. You said that they have different baboon traits. I would have thought that a red wine should be called the Baboon's Bum, but maybe that's just me being extremely vulgar and unnecessary. So before I completely destroy my credibility, I have to say I'm quite enjoying this. It's It's got a fairly muted nose. Initially, it was a bit a bit aggressive, but it's settling down now. It's been in the glass for a little while. I'm quite enjoying this. I think this would go extremely well with a robust meal, maybe a chicken pie or a pepper steak pie or steak or lamb or almost anything you would pull off a braai. I'm enjoying it, and thank you very much for introducing me to yet another new variety, not a new variety of wine, but certainly a new type of wine in terms of this Baboon range. Moving from baboons to great elegance, Jeff Osborne, what are you making of it?
John, you know, increasingly I've become partial towards Shiraz, so I'm particularly interested to taste this one, and I have to concur that the first sip, as it were, was a little bit harsh, if you like, but it settled as I progressively have sipped the wine, and I concur that I think it's typically suited to the outdoor type of bush occasion, around the fire, campfire, and I was saying earlier on that it reminded me almost of my army days. This would have been perfect somewhere around a military campfire and everything else that goes with that type of occasion. So, but very good indeed. I think it's a nice, strong-bodied Shiraz, and certainly the tannins for me are quite soft.
Well, before he starts monkeying around, we'd better get Malcolm McDonald's opinion on this. Are you enjoying the Baboon's Back Shiraz from Ayama?
Absolutely. It's really big. It's got lots of flavour going on. On the nose, you really do get the Shiraz, but on the taste, it's almost cab sap big. It's really got a lot of flavour there.
Jeremy Sampson.
John, it's interesting, because when I look at the label, the hero on the label is the varietal Shiraz, which is almost relegating it to commodity status, which worries me from the branding perspective. Now, Ayama, I have to admit, I hadn't heard of. The Baboon's Back, I hadn't heard of. The wine, I would love to taste it again, especially with food. But I would suggest that the priority on the label is a little bit wrong, and they need to get the branding a lot stronger. But there's a little bit of free advice to them.
Well, Jeremy, you obviously haven't been listening into our podcasts as devoutedly as you should have done, because we've done a couple of Ayama tastings recently, including a trio of bubblies that I think all of us found very, very, very pleasant, very enjoyable. So some homework for you this evening.
Another of South Africa's hidden secrets.
Yeah. Well, our podcasts were once hidden secrets, but of course now that we're getting them out there and more people are clicking into them, we're spreading the word. Michael, there's been quite a bit of discussion recently about branding of South African wines. There have been articles on Bloomberg about how we can and should get our wine into China. There was a recent report by PricewaterhouseCoopers, or PwC as they call themselves these days, suggesting that there are various markets on which we should concentrate. But my big concern, and I was discussing this at a lunch recently with some people who were serving me some very nice wine, is that South Africa has a challenge in establishing a brand South Africa. We've got lots of small producers, some of whom have virtually unpronounceable names if you're struggling with the English language. And yet, I'm not confident that we're actually getting the country's brand out there efficiently. Any thoughts from you?
Yeah, John, I think, you know, you've got an organisation like WOSA, which has its battles occasionally with the producers and the media, but I think they do a good job as a result of a group of private independent wineries getting together. They formed an organization called Private Independent Wines of South Africa, PWOSA. They're doing great work, particularly in England and in the USA. I think our name certainly has been out there, but I don't think there's really been a sort of cohesive wine body promotion of South African wines overseas.
Jeff Osborne, you work for an American-owned company. When you go to the States, how big is South African wine there, if at all?
Well, I always go to California, John, Silicon Valley, and as you know, wine industry there is large. And surprisingly, they have not only a knowledge of South African wines, but a high level of respect. They refer to it as the young emerging market wines, and the New Zealanders and the Australians tend to compete. But I think increasingly, South African wines have grown in popularity and in price. So we're right up there. They know of us, and I think our wines are highly regarded, as is the case in the UK.
So we're making a little bit of progress with our silicon implants. So. Malcolm McDonald.
I've, you know, on occasional trips to Europe, looked for South African wines, thinking that, you know, being South Africa with the currency the way it is, it would be cheap, but actually they find them quite expensive there, and sort of I'd probably assume that people would associate the price with the maybe the prestige of the wine to some extent. But I literally, wherever I go, I look for South African wines, and I don't mind spending a bit of extra money to get something I know is going to be great.
Mm. I think you're right, Michael. There are places in the world where you will find very ordinary South African wines at inflated prices.
That's true too.
And that can only be damaging. But we are fortunate in having with us this evening in the studio somebody who knows quite a bit about branding, Jeremy Sampson. What are your thoughts on all this?
John, last week I was up in Nairobi, you know, one of my usual business trips. I was there for precisely one night, but I was staying at a good hotel, and I was able to have a good dinner, and as usual, I kept the wine list in front of me for a lot of my meal, just studying it. And it was very interesting seeing the collection of wines they had. South African, but an awful lot of Australian, especially Margaret River, and Chilean, and Malbec from Argentina, which I think was... Donald Hess, of course. Donald Hess owns in South Africa Glencalu. So it was very interesting, and as Malcolm was saying, the price points are interesting as well, because I'd have thought South African wine should be a lot cheaper than the others. They weren't. So perhaps, and I'm only surmising here, the hotel chain was getting a better profit margin out of South African wines compared with some of the others. But I certainly think that when people taste South African wines, they're agreeably surprised on the whole. It's just getting these wines in front of people, because the competition out there is so intense. It really is scary.
Michael Olivier, from your perspective, how important is it for we in South Africa to get our wines into the world market? Would the Cape wine industry survive without its exports?
I don't think it would, and I think it's very important to get our wines out there, because there are a huge number of people very dependent on good sales of wine.
Okay, well, unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but as it's a branding topic, we'll give Jeremy Sampson the last word.
I think I stand under correction, Michael, but I'm told that South Africa actually is one of the very few, if not the only country, that exports more wine than is consumed locally. And I find that interesting. Obviously, it's not enough, and obviously there's too much of a proportion that is bulk wine. But I'm told that the branded bottled wine is slowly going up, and that can surely be only good for South African industry.
As long as it slowly goes up and rapidly goes down once somebody's bought the stuff. Well, yet again, we've run out of time, but do join us again next week when I think we'll be going from wine to something a little bit stronger and hopefully equally gorgeous. It just remains for me to thank once again our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. Michael, always a pleasure chatting to you, and we'll chat again next week.
Look forward to that, John. Thank you.
And thanks to our studio guests, Jeff Osborne from Gumtree.
Thank you, John. Always good to be here.
Malcolm McDonald from Tursos.
Thanks, John. Great to be here.
And brander, super brander, Jeremy Sampson.
Always a pleasure, John.
I'm John Fraser. That was Divine Intervention.